And Peter goes on to say here, you know, in verse 11, we're going to be looking at to live honorably in the face of pressure, verses 11 and 12. And keep in mind, Peter is pointing out to live honorably amongst non-believers, to the government, and to those who we serve. It could be employees or whoever it is. Okay? And we need to be submissive as Christ was submissive. Okay? So looking at the way it was here, it says in verse 11, it says, "Beloved," and you have to remember, this is the Roman culture. When this epistle was written in 64 AD, Roman religion was viewed as a social activity that permitted unity and loyalty to the state. We have our loyalty. Jesus says, whatever you give to Caesar, give to Caesar. Whatever you give to God, give to God. So Christians were viewed as hostile to the state because they were outsiders. They were people that were a little different. And usually it's like, in a chicken coop, if you have one chicken in there that looks a little weird, what happens? They all start pecking at it, okay? It's kind of cruel, it's kind of mean, but that's how society is. If you're a little different, you're a little weird, we don't want you around, right? And it's usually God looks at the heart. Remember, it's all about the heart. We're all different, but people like to clone us together. People like to have control. So, Christians, Romans had many pagan gods and idols for every occasion. So if you're living back in the day, kind of weird, they looked at you kind of weird, they had different gods, the state wanted to control you. Christians were viewed as superstitious because they worshiped privately in their homes. Of course, they didn't have house churches. We're going to look here, but in China they have house churches. We're going to look at that when we look at the government. Here, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about how Chinese Christians are being viewed at and how they're being treated. The Roman government offered no rights to protection for Christians or worship practices. Persecution began as discrimination and escalated to seizure of property, torture, and death. In other words, they find out you're a Christian. You know what? You don't give homage to Caesar. You don't worship him. You're out of here. We're going to take your home. We're going to take your kids. We're going to sell them as slaves. You're going to take your wife, sell her as a slave. You're going to kill your husband, sell him as a slave. We're going to take everything you got. That would be a shocker, okay, today, if that was to happen. Roman emperors began to believe that they should be worshipped as other gods and the statues of self. So that's when he's writing here, beloved, you know, to honor, you know, it's kind of hard to think, well, you know, when government comes along, does that, well, anything that goes above God's word, you can say no. But you have to submit to the government as long as they don't go above God's word. And, you know, you got to put God first and then, you know, your government, you got to submit to them too. So Peter's writing this saying, you know, you're going through some really hard times. I think life has been hard for us this week. Had our trials and our tribulations, well, it can get kind of difficult. So we need to honor. It says, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims. So a sojourner was a person who resides temporarily in a place, and pilgrims were those, a person not living in their own homeland. As it is here, it says in Philippians 3:20, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're here temporarily. Don't worry about what's going to happen to your things. You know, pass them on to somebody else so you can use them, your kids or whatever charity you want to give to. That's between you and the Lord, okay? But we're not going to be here for all that long. So make best use of every day. Honor the day, honor the Lord, and honor one another. You can't go wrong with that. Because what are you going to say to somebody who's being honorable to you? Oh, that just makes me angry. I don't like you. I'm going to bully that person into submission. If you honor, if you love somebody, that's not going to move you at all. Okay? It's just going to make you stronger and say, oh, yeah, I love you in the Lord. Oh, so what? You honor a person, you can't go wrong. no matter what hits that you get, doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be pretty or nice. Okay, you may be persecuted, might get punched in the face for sharing the gospel, but you still tell about God's love. And that's testimony. It's better than punching back. It's better telling about God's love. Or walk away. Okay, however God's calling you to do it. Going on here, beloved, I beg you be sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust. So, 1 John 2:16 says this, for all that are in the world, the desires of the flesh and desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but from this world. We talked about this from the fall. Remember, a few weeks ago, we looked at Adam and Eve. We looked at the Mother's Day sermon. Now, Eve, she was distracted. And, of course, this serpent, we looked at that, who that was. And she was deceived, okay? And Adam, we all fell because of Adam, because Adam stood there and did nothing, okay? And men should be protectors, and they should be guardians of their wives, their families. Pastors should be guardians and protectors of the flock. And so that goes on, and Christ is over all. So there was a about fleshly lust. There was a story about a bank employee. He was good in for a good promotion. Sounds good. You know, we all like promotions in life. One day they had lunch at the bank after it was closed. And apparently the president was there of the bank and other associates. And they were all eating at this cafeteria. And so, but the president noticed as this employee was going for a promotion, there were two pads of butter that you had to pay. Some days you just have to pay for everything, right? We all got to pay for something. Instead of paying for it, he thought nothing of it between two layers of bread and slipped the pads of butter under the bread. Thought nobody was looking. What's 2 cents a piece? Well, that cost him his promotion because the president saw that and he was just like, you know what? If I can't trust this guy with little things, how can I trust him with big things? Likewise, it is with us today. God will not give us more than we can handle, but God will promote us in life between you and him. I don't know what it is between you and the Lord, but he'll promote you. He'll give you stronger and more things. And so we have to be careful about our lusts, that they don't control us. Romans 6:12-14 says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. It's either the spirit's going to control you or your mortal lust are going to control you. That's why Peter was telling them, look, be careful, live honorably, okay? Because let God control you, not you control you, but let God control you. That's so important to be filled with the Spirit. Do not present members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for unrighteousness. You are the instrument. God is going to use you, and we're like an orchestra here today in the church. We all want to play in the same tone, and the orchestra, the conductor is Jesus Christ, and we all want to play in the proper way. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but grace. He's encouraging him. He says, look, with all this craziness going on with Nero, you need to ask God for grace. It's just like when you can't sing a hymn because you don't know how the hymns played. You can mimic, you can pretend that you know, but that doesn't do any good because you know you don't do any good at singing. You don't know the hymn. But what you do is that you just read along. That's what I do. And I sit there. I usually don't. I open my Bible, but I like to hear. I like to learn by listening. Okay, and I can learn by reading too. And also, we have to be careful about our fleshly attacks from Satan. Ephesians 6:10-12 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. When we want to live honorably, we will be attacked for living honorably. But don't put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against against the rulers, against the authorities, against the principalities, and over the present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. In other words, there's an angelic force which is built up militarily. We think about the military and about Memorial Day. Our country stayed free and strong because of the enemies who tried to attack and taken away our freedoms. People have died, but there is an angelic host out there, and they have all these in the original language. It doesn't get into it. It gives you the basic premise. They have angelic military authority, okay? And, you know, you have Satan, and he has his demons and different forces. So we have to be careful about that. There was a story here about one day when a young man went to school. It's a true story. It happened about 30 years ago. He found two huge sacks laying alongside the road. He decided to open up one. He's like, wow, money. Look at all this money. What are you going to do? Ask yourself, if you had found two sacks of money worth $415,000, what would you do? Right away, you're thinking, I'm glad I'm the only person that knows, right? But he decided to return the money. He's a young guy, did the right thing, you know, and he decided to give him a $1,000 reward. And, you know, first thing came out of his mouth, not being thankful, because, look, they didn't have to give you anything. And, of course, they can trace the money, too, through the serial numbers. He was like, you know, he was very unhappy. He says, he complained. He says, if I had to do it over again, I'd probably keep the money. But, you know, the wise thing to do is to turn it over like you find somebody's wallet. The point is that when it comes to fleshly lust, we have to be careful about that. And that war against our soul every day, selfishness, you know, oh, I just want it for me. I don't have time for that person or whatever. It's amazing how God can make the time when we help each other out. So we see here in verses 11, 12, living honorably in the face of pressure. And it's hard to make decisions at the last moment. It's hard to make decisions when you, during the day, your plate's halfway full and all of a sudden somebody just plops something on there. Your plate's really heavy. You're like, okay, how do I do this? Lord, give me wisdom. How am I going to work A, B, C, and D together and make it all work out? Want to live it honorably. You've got honor. You take care of the other people, and God will take care of the rest. He will put the thoughts in your mind, okay, how to function right. So we're living as sojourners, pilgrims, watching our fleshly lusts that work against our soul. Verse 12, having your conduct honorable against the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may be by your good works, which they observe, glorify God, and they've been a visitation. So we have to be careful to have an honorable conduct amongst, because people are watching. They're always watching what we're doing here. And it's good to be free in Christ, because if you're doing right, you know what? You can be yourself, you know? And be happy and relax and enjoy yourself. Walking in the Spirit of the Lord. It says September, about 20 years ago, the U.S. Army commissioned West Point's first black cadet. 123 years before that, this man called James Webster Smith, a former slave, entered to the U.S. Military Academy in 1870. For the next 4 years, he was harassed by the color of his skin. I could just imagine how tough it would have been as a Christian black man going into an all-white academy. If those who've been in the military understand how cruel and how rough it is those first years going in, let alone going to school. White students refused to talk to him. He was forced to eat by himself, and others poured slop on him. Twice he was court-martialed. He had to repeat a year. Finally, the academy expelled him after the junior year for failing his exam. They tried every way to get rid of this poor black man who was just trying to serve his country. Because after the Civil War, it was horrible. And, you know, you know that from reading your history books. And so Smith died years later of tuberculosis at the age of 26. And he was scarred by his life by injustice. Then the army decided to resurrect his name about 20, 30 years ago to right the wrong because he had no known descendants. The commission certificate of gold second lieutenant bars of Jane Webster Smith was presented at the South Carolina State University. Wonderful. That's great to give honor who gives honor to. Sometimes the honor that is deserved comes in this world, but the honor always comes in the kingdom of God. The honor which comes through God is really what matters. So my point is that, you know, if we want to honor somebody, maybe we dishonored somebody. Maybe we need to go back and apologize. And then we'll be like, I don't know what you mean. You know, if you feel better about that, if you know about that, it's always good to get back and clean your conscience, make it clear, you know, before God and man and, you know, yourself, and forgive yourself and ask God for forgiveness and ask that person for forgiveness if that's where the Lord leads you. So we see here, number one, there is life honorable, live honorably in the face of pressure. Number two, to live submissively in the face of authority. And he goes on to hear about government. He goes on to say, especially remember, during Nero's time, this must have been a hard cookie to bite on. It says, therefore, submit yourselves here to the ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be king as supreme or Nero as supreme. The King James, New King James Version puts in king because they had a king back in the day. It would have been with that. We need to realize that we need to submit from the ordinance of man. That means that God allowed us to be subdued, to bring ourselves under control over the dominion of wise management, of government. Genesis 1:28 says this, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply all of the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish, the sea, over the birds of the heavens, over every living thing which moves there along the earth. So we need to submit, okay, to authority. What happened in 1864 came, President Abraham Lincoln wrote a letter to Mrs. Bixby. She lost five sons during the Civil War. Talk about Memorial Day. And a Boston widow who had five sons who had been killed during that time, so he wrote, dear ma'am, I've been shown in the files of the War Department a statement of the adjutant general of Massachusetts that you are the mother of five sons who have died gloriously on the field of battle. I feel how weak and fruitless must be any word, mine which should attempt to beguile you from the grief of loss so overwhelming. But I cannot refrain from tendering you and the consolation that you may be found in the thanks of the Republic they died to save. And I pray that our Heavenly Father may assuage the anguish of your bereavement and leave you only the cherished memory of the loved and lost and the solemn pride that must be yours to have laid so costly sacrifice upon the altar of freedom. Yours very sincerely and respectfully, Abraham Lincoln. So when we have to go to war, we fight for a country, we need to submit to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be king or supreme. Verse 14 says here that or for governors, those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, for the praise of those who do good. So the good part is that, you know, we have a police department. You know, I'm not into defunding the police, but I think that's all part political there. But I'm very thankful for those who keep law and order. And so we need to be thankful. We need to pray for our government because it's so split down the middle. You had the left and the right fighting amongst one another. You get one group has the majority and they control everything. And just pray for our government that they can get things under control and get, I'm just going to leave it there. So, they're good for keeping things in order, not in chaos. Verse 15 says this, "For this is the will of God, by doing good you may be put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." So you have people out there who say, "Well, aren't you going to break the law? You're a Christian." And, you know, tell them no, because, you know, I'm supposed to obey. I'm supposed to do what's right. You know, that's on you. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7, states this, "For let every person be subject to the governing authorities. There's no authority except from God. Those who exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have the fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong and be afraid, he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, the avenger of those who carry out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. So therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of consciousness." In other words, if you break the law and you go to jail, you go to jail because you broke the law. But if you broke the law because it went against God's ordinance, then blessed are you because you did what was right. And there are many pastors today that are in jail. There are Christians that are in jail because they did what was right. Remember, it's God ordained. You have the family, you have the church, and you have the family, church, and the government. Those are the three ordinations that God's had. "For because if you do pay taxes, for the authorities or ministers of God, offending this very thing, pay to all what is owed to them, taxes whom taxes is owed, and revenue who revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor of to those who are honored." So in other words, give honor to what the Lord has called you to do. And we see here in verse 16, as we're looking at the submissive to in face of authority living that way, it says here, "As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice." And it has the idea here of living disobediently. In the Chinese churches, like I was saying earlier, last week I gave you a little bit of information, but there are hymns, the way they do it in their state-run churches, not the home churches, but the state-run churches, they can sing some hymns, but guess what? At the end of every church service with the doxology, this is different reports of people who've been there, that they have to sing a hymn to their dictator, okay, Xi Jinping, and to the Communist Party. So they're saying, yeah, you can have what you want. Like I said last week, you'll have pictures of the dictators up there with red flags, with golden stars, you know, those five golden stars that there are. Offerings, you're not allowed to give an offering. You can give an offering to the government, but they're saying that's a big no-no. You can go to jail. So no offerings. And then, of course, there are missionaries in China. Keep that in prayer, too, because remember, like I said last week, the more they do persecution, the stronger the church grows in countries, the less the church grows. But the missionaries, they're watching them. If you want to be a tent maker, if you want to go overseas to teach English to get a Bible study started, now they'll kick you out. Before, you could go there and do that. Now they'll kick you out. They find out. If you go over there as a contractor and you're working making good money, they'll kick you out anyway because you start a Bible study, you're out of here. Why? They want dominance. They want worship. They want control. And so keep the church in China in prayer. Like I said last week, that the pastors have been there for years. Their ears, God has called them to jail. They're ministering in jail. The saddest part, he says, are these new Chinese pastors coming up. They don't have a backbone. They're weak. And so they're giving in to the authorities. They don't have the stuffing. As the saying goes, I got the stuffing. It gets knocked out. Well, I put in more stuffing. God's stuff. So if you disobey, the government, Acts 5:29 says, then Peter said to the other apostles in answer and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. In other words, no earthly authority should lawfully forbid what God demands. Number two, no earthly authority should command what God forbids. So we have a good balance in our lives. And, again, that's a personal thing between you and the Lord. But always check with Scripture. Always have your checks and balances in place. So as free, not using your liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. And then verse 17, it says, honor all people. That means every person in God's creation. You should honor people. Be respectful to them. You know, as the old street saying goes, if you don't get respect, if you don't give respect, you don't get no respect. Well, you know, honor people. Love the brotherhood. It means to love and honor all Christians, okay? Even if you don't agree with them, you know, you should still honor them. Doesn't mean that you can agree to disagree with them, okay? But you still love them. Fear God. Do not fear man. Fear God only. So it's not what a person can do to you and fear them, but fear God. And God will put that fear in you, that godly fear, that you will overcome any kind of worldly fear, which is of the devil, which makes you want to run away or hide in the corner. Then honor the king or the emperor. That was a man who God has placed in authority and position over you. Remember, people are upset about honoring a past president or your official. Remember, God put them there. God put them there. So honor them. Pray for them. Okay? And do what's right. All right? And don't fight it. Pray about it. And God will fight your fight for you. So we're living honorably. So then we're to live graciously in the face of injustice. It says here in verse 18, I was talking about servants and slaves. Remember back in the day, there were more slaves than there were free people. Okay. And also this could tie in too with people at work. Okay. And you have to honor your boss. You may not like your boss, but you know what? You look at it this way. You do it as unto the Lord. Okay? As a boss, you're supposed to treat your employees the right way. Okay? We see here in verse 18, it says, servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to do good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is the commendable. It is because conscience toward God, for one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it that if you are beaten for your thoughts, that you take it patiently? So, if you take it patiently, how are you going to get the patience? You get it through the Holy Spirit. There is a man named William Wilberforce back in the 1700s. He was the man who wrote Amazing Grace. And he was a man who had to deal with, he wanted to get rid of the slave trade. And he had suffered immensely through what his finances and what he had. In other words, it cost him. And, you know, if you want to change something in the government, you have a fight on your hand. It may take a couple years before they even take it before the House committee. And so, you know, these things that the politicians do, even back in England, back in the 1700s, 1800s, it took them 15 years to actually deal with this because of slavery. England used to be on par with slavery, and I think they were the very first countries to deal away with it. Well, he was made, this man, William was made as a social outcast, and he was slandered about. And what was it, all of that was about the money. The money trail, it's all the slave trade was about. Blacks enslaving others, there's a lot of those that were doing that that nobody talks about if you read your history books. And of course, the white slave traders, they came aboard, they came along Africa and other places and put them on the ships and treated them like they were cattle, like they were animals. It wasn't until 1807 that he was able to introduce, William was, to pass. He was the one who penned that song there, just like we need to remember that today. That today there's a slave trade that is going on. Do you realize, and nobody talks about this, there's over 233,000 children that came across from the southern border that nobody knows what happened to them. Children. Because remember, these families for 4 years, the open borders, you had families being broken up, sold to the cartels, and God knows what happened to the people there. But they said 233,000 children. They believe that the cartels are working here in the United States, and also they're using these kids in factories and places around. And around the world, there's 27.6 million people that are trapped in the labor force. 17.3 million are exploited for the private economy. They said there's quite a few numbers in California that they're trying to get to. But as soon as the authorities come, they hide them, put them in tunnels, put them away. 6.3 are in commercial and sexual exploitation. And nearly 4 million are forced into labor imposed by state authorities. You're looking at this around the world. Okay? So child labor is cheap. Remember years ago, and Nike got in trouble for it. So slavery has different forms. It's still going on today. What the saddest part is that people think that we've evolved and we're living in nice homes, drive nice cars, live in a green, peaceful society, go home, be with our families, you know, have a nice meal, and, you know, we've evolved. No, it's still that ugliness of sin is still going away. This is the salt and light of the church to expose this. It's not popular. Until the Lord takes me home, I'm going to still preach on these things because they're truth. So looking back here in verse 20, we see, but when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable to God. So there are Christians today that are suffering for their faith. Christians, like I said, are in slave camps. Different religious groups are in slave camps around the world. So verse 21 through 25, we need to live as Christ lived honorably. For this to you we're called, because Christ had suffered for us, leaving us an example for you who should follow his footsteps. Quoting from Isaiah 53:9, says, who committed no sins, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Think about that song, Footsteps of Jesus. We think about our Savior never retaliatory back to his accusers, except there were times when he was angry and he sinned not. Remember, he went into the temple and tipped those money tables over. He did it twice and took out a whip. He didn't beat people. He's trying to get their attention. When we try to get people's attention, we're doing it in an honorable way, but sometimes there is a righteous anger and you sin not. Okay, that means minus the flesh, plus with the spirit. Verse 23, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return, but when he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who gives himself, bore our sins with his own body on the tree, that we, having died to our sins, remember, he took on the sins of both you and I. And I cannot think of somebody who's no greater love than God dying for my sins, for your sins. And I'm still perplexed even to this day. How can he love me? Oh, how he loves you and me. So it might, that we might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. There are two bodies of water in the Middle East, the Dead Sea and the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is teeming and thriving with life. Dead Sea, on the other hand, is lifeless, and nothing thrives or survives there. The difference between the Dead Sea is that it only takes in water and never releases it. And the result is stagnant and lifeless. But the Sea of Galilee not only takes in water, but it also releases water as well. It's like a purification system. You think about the righteousness of God. We need to come before him with humbly and a contrite heart and ask God to help us through our days. And he will cleanse us. It's like the blood cleanses us from all everything. We're like that Sea of Galilee, and we flow with life because we have Christ. We could be like the Dead Sea that has nothing to externally push out that which is bad. So it just sits there, okay, and there's no life. So Christ gives us life. We can do this through prayer, go through the Word of God, to witness, to love, and to sacrifice our lives as Christ sacrificed for us as well. So we might live righteously. Whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now have returned to the shepherd or overseer of your souls. So we were like sheep that went astray. And a sheep cannot survive by itself. It needs a shepherd. He is our shepherd. And so we need to ask ourselves today to live an honorably life. There are many examples that we looked at today, things that we can learn from. But let me give you a few things, few ways of living honorably. You don't drift with the flow of the culture. So one, you're going to be different. And this is what Peter's saying. You're going to be different. You might have to suffer for it. You may not be liked by it. You're not going to be part of that club or association of friends that you knew. But, and they realize too, your real friends are the ones that will stick with you through thick and thin. You know, I'm talking about in the secular world. Number two, you stand out and don't fit in well with the world. So, you know, they're all going to know you're a Christian. You meditate on what is right for the Lord's sake. In other words, you keep on meditating, keep on cleansing your mind through Jesus Christ. Keep always praying without ceasing. Then we see, number four, you ponder what is good for you, the soul and for the glory of God. And you start out the day saying, Lord, whatever you want for your honor and glory, I'm taking care of my wife, my kids, I'm doing the best I can. On top of that, I can barely make it to church. I'm going to make it. Okay, but you're doing it because you love. And because you believe by faith. And number five, your behavior and reactions to injustice looks very different than what is normal in this world. In other words, your behavior and reaction to injustice looks very different than what is normal to the world. So where people would say, you know what, I have nothing to do with that woman or man, you would have the compassion to say, you know what, that person needs help. I'm going to go step out the boundary line. I'm going to grab that person and help that person. I'm going to do what I can for my neighbors, for my church, for my community. I'm going to do what I can because nobody else understands. And other people look at you for being a Christian in honor, okay? So live honorably in the face of pressure, under being submissive in the face of authority, to live graciously in the face of injustice, and also live as Christ did, okay? He is our chief cornerstone. He is that foundation. We are the living stones built up. And remember, it's not talking about a physical church. You are the church. You are the living stones. You are the honorable ones. So God expects that because he gives to you. I want to close with this. God will never give you anything unless you can't handle it. And you grow in grace and knowledge. God will give you the grace and the knowledge as time goes on. What somebody else is living through, I can't because I haven't grown up enough in the Lord. Don't worry about that. God will allow you to grow. It doesn't matter what age you are. He doesn't compare one to another. No respecters of persons. But all he wants us to do is put our eyes on him and we look into his wonderful face, those things that we richly want to see in him. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your blessings and your love. Lord, we can't do anything without you. We want to live honorably. We think about those who have sacrificed for this country. We think about other Christians. Our other Old Testament saints have sacrificed for us so we can have the written word of God. So easy. Take things for granted. Forgive us. Because, you know, I'm no better than anybody else. And Lord, help us all to encourage one another, to give thanks and blessings and thanksgiving. And thank you, Lord, that you died on the cross for our sins. And just pray if there's anybody here online who's not saved, you don't know the Savior. Remember, he died for you an honorable death for you that you may have eternal life. You can't get any better than that because when you get older, only a fool would not think of the future. And unfortunately, in society, we have a lot of fools that reject the truth, walk away, and they're living for the moment. The moment can take you home at any time. Death can come knocking at your door. Just pray that by faith you accept Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. By faith, you realize that this is blood that cleansed you for your sins, that he died for you, that you may have eternal life. Don't forget it, my friend. Life doesn't last forever. This one thing does, and that's the word of God. That is truth. Trust him, believe it, and put your life and soul on it, and believe by faith. Father, we thank you for this day, and thank you that it's been good to be in your house, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're